Before We Say Goodbye, written by Madeline Rice and read by Katie Villa.
Part 1. Winter. Chapter 1. Scott opened his bedroom door, and a blue foam bullet hit him between the eyes. Yes! Bang on target! Danny's delighted face gleamed at him in the dim hallway, and, despite being barely awake, Scott couldn't help smiling back. Even this early in the morning, his housemate's glee was hard to resist. Don't you ever sleep? Scott asked, edging round him and going into the kitchen. He hoped there would be enough milk to at least soften his cereal, but he wasn't optimistic. 3 months of living in a dank student house in King's Cross, with one of the least domesticated individuals on Earth, had made Scott realize just what stamina was required to keep it stocked up with even the most basic necessities of life. I've a theory that we all sleep too much, Danny said, pulling out the stool from under what the estate agent details had fondly described as a breakfast bar, but which was, in fact, a length of chipboard propped up on a couple of spindly legs. Don't you want to know how I did it? Danny asked, and then, without waiting for an answer, he plunged into his explanation. I set up a program on my laptop. The webcam detected movement and prompted the mechanism I made with part of an old food mixer and a battery pack to release the trigger. The challenging bit was finding the exact right spot to place the gun. I had to factor in your height and the speed at which you were likely to open the door, Danny said. And Scott shook his head in what he hoped was an appropriately awestruck fashion. Like any creative person, Danny relied heavily on an appreciative audience. One day you'll rule the world, Scott said, pouring a meager trickle of milk onto his cornflakes. Danny smiled so widely that his small grey eyes disappeared completely into a series of complicated folds. He seemed to possess more skin than other people. Danny's speciality, other than setting up elaborate surprises, was to pull the loose flesh on either side of his face and stretch it out a good 2 inches from his jawline, giving him the look of a collared reptile. There's another of those gross slugs, said Danny with a shudder, pointing to the giant black beast lying draped, like a desiccated tongue, over a dish on the draining board. I don't even know where they come from. He looked around him fearfully, as if he was expecting an army of the creatures to rise up from the floorboards and devour him. I think we should sprinkle it with salt. In fact, we should put salt all over the floor, and they'll fizzle to death in the night. I'll get rid of it, Scott said, and he scooped the creature up in a piece of kitchen paper and escorted it out of the back door, taking care to place it somewhere where it would be safe. The scrubby garden was in the grip of a frost, and the lawn and pathway had a hard luster. The sycamore tree by the fence stretched its slender arms into the white sky. Scott liked winter, for the way it seemed to freeze time, the days merging more easily into the nights, so that they were harder to count. Are you going to the SU tonight? Danny asked when Scott came back in. It's £2.50 a pint between 5:30 and 7:30, and a silent disco. It's a cheap night out, and I could do with one of those. I'll be there. Although I don't really get dancing on your own, said Scott. It seemed to him that the whole point of music was that it should blast out and fill the room all the way to the roof, and everyone should be able to share it. I think Marcia might be going, Danny said, giving Scott a side-eye look. Is she? Scott said, trying what he thought might pass for an offhand tone of voice. But Danny's knowing, origami-like expression revealed that he wasn't in the slightest bit deceived. She made a particular point of saying she was going to be there, almost as if she thought I would pass the information on to someone who might just possibly be interested.